Next item on the agenda is number 11, Victoria Ann Bedrosian Bryce, Oyster Planting Ground, application 2015-288.
Bear with me.
I thought the commissioner skipped town.
So while they're doing that,
we received official correspondence.
All right.
Related to the protest.
Yeah, we got too late to include in your packet, and I'll reference some of those while I'm speaking as well. So this is an application from Victoria Bryce for oyster planting ground application in the Rappahannock River. Sorry, that's a Chesapeake Bay. It should be Rappahannock River. Lancaster County. It is protested by a number of nearby property owners. Some of them are residents and some have, I think, second homes there. We did receive this application back in 2015. And it was protest, and we did our normal public interest review, and we did receive some protests almost immediately that same year, as I said, from some property owners. I want to clarify one of the protestants. There's a list of protestants in your packet. One of the first protests we got was from Greenvale Association. I was erroneously and informed today under the impression that the Greenvale Association was an organization associated with Greenvale Creek, which is near this application. There is a Greenvale Dredge Association, apparently, a group of people who oversee dredging permit applications with a channel into Greenvale. But the lady that sent the protest in, Kathy Powell, has a historic family property along the shoreline here. And they have an organization themselves called Greenville Association, and she signed it as the secretary treasurer, and I made the assumption, I think, that this was the dredge group. So I'll clarify a little more her comments when we get to the protest section. Again, the application's in the Rappahannock River. This is a topo map showing the area. Greenville Creek is just to the right of the icon there going north. And the application is shown wrapping around an existing lease. The larger parcels in the center of the river are public ground. There's a little closer view of the application. Again, the original application wrapped around this existing lease and went to the north and was for a fairly large amount of acreage. Again, you can see the entrance channel in this photo to Greenvale Creek. We do have VMRC permitted dredging permits for that dredge. The spoil from that is placed on the beach to the northwest there, where you see sort of a white beach. And there's also a jetty between the channel and the application, a wooden jetty that comes out that was placed to help prevent some of that material from washing back off the beach and coming into the channel. On the application, the applicant did indicate that one of the reasons they wanted the lease in addition to traditional use would be for cage aquaculture. So that is, they did answer yes to that question on the questionnaire. As I've noted in the past, the use of cages and floats and nets for shellfish propagation has resulted in increased public awareness of the leasing of bottomlands and has highlighted the necessity for a more comprehensive review of these application requests related to aquaculture activity. Such requests in populated areas raise issues regarding public trust, plans to include user conflicts, property values, aesthetics, navigation impacts, and suitable bottom types. Stewardship of public trust lands, while weighing the public and private benefits versus detriments, requires a multifaceted review of shellfish lease applications. Again, we do review all these applications on a case-by-case basis and consider all comments we receive during the public review process. So one of the immediate things that was apparent to us, and we also heard in the protest letters, was that there was submerged aquatic vegetation in this area. This slide shows overlay of the VIMS SAV data for the most five-year total. And as you can see, there is a considerable bed shown there, starting where the channel is going northwest, and includes a large portion of the application area, which is now shown in red. Again, as we did the public interest review, we did receive protest letters, one from Greenville Associates that I referenced earlier. Their concerns included navigation impacts in the area, recreational use of the area, and SAV vegetation in the area. We also received a protest from Stephen Caudle, who also reiterated concerns about SAV navigation and recreational use, possible future dock construction, and possible conflict with the dredge spoil from the channel, as that's needed, of Greenvale Creek. Russell Buchanan also submitted a letter in opposition with virtually the same concerns, SAV navigation and other recreational uses. The three documents I gave you while they were setting up the board here were just received over the weekend and raised a lot of the same issues. One of them specifically raised a new issue related to an osprey nesting site. I'm still not exactly clear from their letter. You know, I wrote back to them exactly where the site is in relation to the application, but they had concerns that activity on this lease, particularly cage activity, where there would be husbandry activities, might interfere with the osprey nest and raise concerns based on a federal Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which is relatively old. I did review that act. It is a federal treaty act. There are a lot of birds listed on it, but it basically says that it's illegal to catch, harm, basically try to trap any bird that's on it. There is no language in it about impacts from other activities. It's basically a taking type treaty where you're not allowed to bait or catch or shoot these birds. So I'm not sure it's applicable. Also, anecdotally, we see and we know that there was an osprey nest just inside the mouth of the creek, apparently on a crane barge, on the crane and at a marina. So ospreys do coexist with humans on their nesting sites. Apparently, we see them lots of times in areas that are densely populated. Having said that, the area requested was shrunk considerably. We obviously went to the applicant, informed them of the protest and also of our concerns about SAV, and they voluntarily agreed to reduce the size and, of course, forego the SAV because we told them we could not support that and we had a policy against leasing it. This is a list of the protestants, with Jessica Bright being the last one we received just over the weekend. So this is the reconfigured survey area. We've removed all of the area that was in the SAV and to the northwest. That red area is now the proposed. We did survey that in the field in October of last year, and that's the configuration that we believe is leasable. There's a little closer view to give you a better idea of the distance. So the closest point at the north end of the lease is 600 feet offshore of the land, and then as it juts out to compensate for the SAV, it goes on to 800 and over 900 feet along the inshore to the south as you traverse towards the channel. You can see the channel area there. It's pretty clearly defined. There's no SAV in it because it's deep. The jetty, you can see just in the edge of the slide there to the west of the channel. So we do believe this area is leasable. The water depths at the inshore, according to my surveyor, are around 5 to 6 feet. And there is it doesn't show up real well in this photo, but there is a sort of a sandbar that extends out from the shoreline into the proposed lease area about halfway before it really starts to drop off. The outer portions of the lease are probably more in the 10 to 11 foot range. It's likely, although I'll let the applicant address that, that they probably wouldn't put cages on the deeper part just because of the problems of working them in that deep of water, but that the inshore area is possibly suitable for cage aquaculture. So this is the survey plat that we have made of the survey. It matches that red area you just saw. Again, this has the features I referenced earlier. The channel is shown. That's a permitted channel alignment. It has been dredged in the past. We expect it will be dredged more in the future. You can see the wooden jetty there as a dashed line, and the material from the dredge goes to the north shoreline there. I did give you those new letters. I don't think there's a whole lot of new information in them that I didn't go over already. Again, I covered the migratory bird issue. We did send the known protestants at the time this new alignment and asked if they still objected, because we felt this addressed some of their concerns, at least, if not all of them. It was much further offshore, a much smaller area, but at least two of the previous protestants, and of course this new protest, indicated they still objected, reiterating this was, they didn't think this was appropriate area for commercial type activity, and that they do use this area for recreation and to navigate out into the river. As you saw in the photo, most of the piers don't extend out more than about 100 feet, so it's still a good 500 plus feet offshore of the piers. And I believe most of the time they would navigate over to the channel to go out into the river, so from those shorelines along the north. So having said that, while we do understand that the use of on-bottom structures often creates concerns for nearby property owners, we believe the location and modified configuration of this request should adequately address, if not all, most of the issues presented by the protestants. Therefore, after reviewing the protestants' objections and considering all the factors in 28.2607 and 28.2125, subsection A, of the Code of Virginia and the Public Trust Doctrine, staff recommends approval of leasing 28.58 acres of grounds to Victoria Ann Bedrosian Bryce, as shown on the survey plat. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Mr. France.
Yes. Is there any history here of previous leasing or forestry propagation?
I believe Ms. Bryce is a family member of some applicants you've seen fairly recently, the Rowlands. And I believe they're here representing her. I'm not sure she could come today. They have some other leases. You may recall a previous application north of this in the Rappahannock that was also fairly large, had some of the same type of concerns. It was a creek that people wanted, and we broke that into, we recommended breaking that into three separate smaller leases, and they do have some other leased ground as well. So they're relatively new into the aquaculture business, but they have been, they are established company.
Yes, sir, please.
So this was previously just on lease bottom that they applied for?
Yes.
Thank you.
Further questions? Ms. Everett?
So since this is on the Rappahannock and
Rappahannock, yes.
Exposed potentially to storm events, I guess my question is, one of these protests mentioned, will the cages end up as litter? Obviously, maybe like a storm brought over. That there is an opportunity to address that through staff if it does become an issue, or is that not likely to become an issue? And it's kind of multi.
Well, I can't ever say it couldn't be an issue. This is up the Rappahannock good ways. It's not right at the mouth, but Rappahannock's a really wide river, so there's always the potential for gear, to get dislodged. In this depth of water, I would think that it should be relatively secure, but yes, we do have the ability to say if this if these create a navigation issue, or if they become an issue that they just can't keep them in place, that we can tell them they cannot put cages on it. That's in the regulation. We have some authority to restrict where they place them and how they're placed.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Stagg. The applicant, present or represented, wishes to be heard? Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth self you got.
I do.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
James Rowland.
Yes, sir.
Son-in-law of applicant. She is in knee replacement surgery today. I guess the only additional information really is just to get to the depth in some more detail. The shallowest point should be 5 feet. Most of it should be 5 to 7 on the upriver portion. It does kind of split in half as a shelf drops down to 10, 12, 15, and as you get to the downriver, channelward point gets down a little deeper than that. So the targeted area for us for the aquaculture gear would be the upriver portion. The downriver portion at that depth is not something we can target for aquaculture gear. That point we believe would be appropriate for bottom planting. It is our goal to establish a couple of restoration areas. We think that area should support an oyster bed. But at the right now, we run cages as deep as 8 to 9 feet. That's about as deep as I am comfortable going with them. As far as storm effects, we have had some minor experience with that. Our shallowest gear at this point is at about the 5 foot area. We have had one incident where it was a combination of a very low winter tide with a decent storm. Some cages were shifted. We didn't lose anything, but we have adjusted our placement of gear. That had to do with using seed bags, which catch a little more of the wave action, so we keep that at deeper depths now. I haven't had any repeat troubles there. I reckon that's really it. The portion near the channel is the deep water portion that is not appropriate for gear. I presume the osprey nest was a nearshore pile. There's nothing out in that depth shy of the jetty, which is still a bit shallow, to support osprey nest. So, aside from any questions, I believe that's all I've got.
Thank you, sir. Any questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in support of this project? Anyone here in opposition to the project? Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Come forward. Now I got. Like,
I know. I was so impressed with this. I have this really high tech PowerPoint.
Okay, before you start, could you raise your right hand, ma'am?
Here we go.
Do solemnly swear the testimony shall give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth self you got.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
Kathy Powell.
Thank you, ma'am. Proceed, please.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I just put these up here.
You're in charge. Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
You probably want to put it up higher. We could see it a little bit better.
I've got two of them.
Okay.
This probably. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Can you see? That one's just. Okay. Can I stand here?
No, ma'am, you got to stand back behind there so we can get it on the record.
All right.
I can see you, though.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great. As Mr. Stagg mentioned, there was some misinformation in your staff notes for today's meeting. The Greendale Creek Maintenance Association is not who I'm here to represent. In addition, there were a couple of other things. One is that the protestants were all notified. Unfortunately, there are about 7 or 8 landowners along Rocky Neck Road where this is. And because this application was done in 2015, it was not necessary or required to notify all the stakeholders. We have sketchily tried to get in touch with everybody that we could. So that is the reason why you've had responses from 4 for this hearing.
Okay.
Even with the change in your recommendation to 28 acres, our comments are still germane, we believe, and with your permission, I'd like to proceed.
Okay. Yes, ma'am, please.
Thank you. I represent Greenville Association at 1618 Rocky Neck Road with 1,100 feet of shoreline on the Rappahannock River. We've been coming to this home place since the 1940s. I'm here today to state our opposition to the application 2015-288 by Victoria Bryce for 180 acres, which is now 28 acres. The notification letter for this hearing dated Thursday, January the 16th, was not received until last Wednesday, the 22nd. I was the only recipient of this letter that I knew of at the time, and I've had little time to notify other property owners directly affected. Ben Stagg has received two letters, three, I understand, today, from property owners, which you all have copies of, right? Okay, terrific. My family and I are deeply distressed that a commercial oyster operation may reside directly in front of our residential home place, along with six other homeowners directly affected. And I thank you, Mr. Bowman and commission members, for your time and attention as I present our concerns. As I understand it, three main priorities for VMRC with regards to commercial oyster beds are as follows. One, cages cannot be more than 12 inches above the bottom substrate. Two, there is to be no interference with the SAV. Because of the large SAV, as was just mentioned, the applicant has moved the proposed operation to deeper waters to address this, and it's our estimate that the depth would be 4 to 5 feet at mean high water, which is in agreement with what you said. And the third thing is that no structures may cause more than a minimal adverse effect on navigation, hazards to navigation. A few comments here. If mean high water is 5 feet of depth, when it's low tide, the water level drops 2 feet, plus you allow a foot for the height of the oyster cage, and that leaves you with obstructions 2 feet below the surface of the water at low tide. This presents a hazard to propellers, sailboats, young human bodies who are doing water sports, and boaters unfamiliar with the waters. Greenville Creek is unique in the county for several reasons. A, it is a public boat ramp, one of only two in the whole county, where boaters can put in who may be very unfamiliar with the local waters. The second thing is it has a jetty, a rock jetty, that has been paid for by private citizens in the area, citizens who are avid boaters, recreational, as well as a number of commercial crabbers who work out of Greenville Creek. And the third thing is Greenville Creek, owned by the applicant's parents, is a marina with a fuel dock. So there is much more traffic from around the river coming here for fuel than other creeks and areas in the river. So this area of the Rappahannock has a higher than normal rate of boating traffic, which increases the probability of boating hazards if there are obstacles placed at the access to this creek. Also, the families immediately to shore are avid nature lovers and heavy recreational users of the river, as evidenced by the letters that you received. Along with the activities mentioned in Ms. Bright's letter, we have the age range of children to seniors who are enthusiastically using the waters in the front of our cottage most of the summer and fall for decades. This is where our young people come to learn about and love the water and this river. Kids don't get much of this opportunity these days anymore, and it's our job to pass it on. All in all, this area of the Rappahannock has more boating activity than most other areas of the whole river. In addition to underwater hazards, add to the necessary markers for the commercial operation. VMRC regs state that poles extending above the water 4 to 6 feet are placed at every corner with two 12 by 12 inch signs reading aquaculture structure plus boundary marking poles a minimum of every 150 feet. Ms. Bryce has applied for what was 180, now 28.8 acres of permitted area. If a cage size is 4 by 4 or 16 square feet, and 1 acre is 43,600 square feet. Theoretically, you could put over 2,700 oyster cages in an acre. Now, I'm not suggesting that this would be that drastic, but with 28 acres at your disposal, an enterprising business could fill the area with white poles and signs and oyster cages and build quite an operation with no restrictions to density per acre. The location of this oyster bed would span the area 90 degrees upriver. So when you're coming out of the creek, this oyster bed spans that much. Just where a boat exits the channel jetty, this would require anyone who comes out of the creek and wants to go upriver to circumvent this oyster area by going inshore through the SAV, directly through the oyster bed area, or out into deeper waters to head upriver. This can cause risks to safety because of this commercial area located right at the creek's entrance. We fully expect that this enterprise to become a growing business concern wherever it establishes itself. Having already applied for 150 acres at nearby Paynes Creek under the Rollins name, plus this application under review today, and perhaps others which were confirmed today, these actions would indicate that Ms. Bryce plans on a large operation. This location is ideal for the applicant, as Greenville Creek Marina is family-owned, and the oyster processing and transportation portion of the business could be located conveniently close by. Please let me clarify. We do not oppose small business, aquaculture, or women in business. We owned a small boat yard in Norfolk-on-the-Elizabeth, a commercial area, and we're the first River Star business of the Elizabeth River Project in Hampton Roads. Now, here in the Northern Neck, we as residential owners believe that the location of this commercial business operation is a disservice to the broader community and a boating hazard to the mouth of a very busy creek. As citizens of Lancaster County, we pay the highest rate of property taxes to have the privilege and benefit of the beautiful waterfront we love and own and maintain, which is quite a financial investment in and of itself. We are deeply distressed that a large industrial operation could be placed right in front of us. And it was just confirmed that the 5-foot area is right in front of our cottage. This applicant can go to a location more conducive to a commercial industrial enterprise without disruption to homeowners and safety risks to boaters. And although property values and land ownership are not your primary focus as a governing body, it is my understanding that you do look after the interests of not only the watermen, but serve all citizens of our Commonwealth. As property owners, here for generations, we can't go anywhere. We can pay what we pay for quiet, beautiful waterfront property. The thought of looking at a busy, noisy oyster operation every day is like rezoning a residential neighborhood into a commercial one without the consent of the homeowners who live and pay taxes here. Citizens who have little to no notice about a change that can drastically impact them. For these folks, the oyster bed spans 100% of their riverfront, 100%. And there is also a pristine, vibrant marsh habitat involved in this equation as well. This is not acceptable. Lastly, here's a new term I just learned. It's called view shed. It's about the breathtaking peace and beauty we experience when viewing nature and being close to our Maker. And it is at this place. And it is there for us. This is a rare and priceless gift for us to experience, especially these days. And it is an honor to pass this to our children and our grandchildren. Ladies and gentlemen, this viewshed is vital to us. Safety is vital to us. The health of our river is vital to us. For the reasons we've outlined, we respectfully request that the VMRC decline this application 2015-288 by Victoria Bryce for 28 acres directly in front of residential properties. I have a copy of this statement. If you would like it, I can give it to you now. And the pictures that I wanted to just outline are just a few of our family as they are growing and learning how to be careful and learning about the river. And young guys are going to be a little less careful. And old people and young people and more young people, this is one of two, these are the two osprey nesting platforms that were mentioned that have been there for 17 years. Now, the jetty comes out right there. And right there are the stakes that were put out, I believe, by your folks when they were surveying this. So that's what I got. Do you have any questions?
Any questions, members of the commission? Mr. Tankard?
Yes. You know, you've seen that this lease has been reduced down to 28.58 acres.
Yes, okay.
And so there has been some compromise to accommodate some of the things that you submitted in your testimony today.
SAV.
And do you, yes, SAV, but also they seem to accommodate being, as you mentioned, directly in front of your homes.
Well, it is still directly in front because our that first line right there, the first line is the dock there is downriver from the first line. It is in front of all of these homes. So that answers your question.
I suppose so. And directly in front of your home could go for a long way. I mean, at a certain point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then my follow-up question is, you do understand that these cages are submersed under.
Absolutely.
Water, so the viewshed issue is perhaps not
as
great
as you
might
imagine. Oh, it's not the submerged.
So
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's not the submerged cages. It's all the poles.
Okay.
It's the coming out and working this wonderful operation. I don't object to oyster farming. I just have a problem with the safety issues with multiple poles and also with the viewshed of working a really viable, busy business on a daily basis right there. Now, these people here, you take a boat and you go out, and these people are all around this area that we're talking about, okay? That's what we do. And 5 feet at high tide equals 2 feet at low tide is something that I think about.
Further questions? Well, ma'am, let me ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at the top left-hand picture that you've got there,
yes,
and you point, seems to be a distance away that you said those are the poles. How far are those poles away from your actual property?
I took pictures of this, of these two, because they're not on our property. These are the two osprey nesting areas that were mentioned in Mr. Buchanan's letter.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're just upriver from there. You can see that we're at the first.
Ma'am, I can't see that. I need to step back over here.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to figure, when you mentioned viewshed, if I'm looking directly to the back of the wall, where is this in your vista?
This operation?
Mm-hmm.
Right in front.
Right directly in front.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Stack, yeah?
Her property is the northernmost cleared area between those two bullets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that pier. That my understanding is that's their property.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you.
And excuse me.
I'm sorry. Mr. Tankard, follow up?
Yes, if I could. Question. Mr. Stagg, I can't read the numbers of feet that this application's first corner is away from our property.
600.
That's 600.
600, 847, 922, and 924.
Those are the distances.
That's the distances from the shore out.
Thank you very much, sir.
Further questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Can I add one more thing? The SAV, we're excited that it's come back. The widgeon grass is tremendous. And that being all of the SAV area means there is no boating in that area because it fouls props in about 1 minute.
Okay.
So in order for any access to the river or any activity, it has to be out in the red zone or out beyond.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate your time.
Anyone else in opposition to this project? Sir, you've got 2 minutes to rebut if you'd like to, or?
Appreciate it. A few things briefly. I dispute the high water estimate of 5 feet. I believe that is the maximum low water available. Staff is welcome to correct me on that, but I believe that to be accurate. The assertion we can just go anywhere, I believe y'all understand, is not accurate. People live all up and down the coast. It is relatively rural, but no one wants anyone in front of their property. That's the way it is, and I wish it were different, but we got to go somewhere. As far as boating through the red zone, the downriver portion, I intend to use, I believe, based on my personal mapping of it, which is not official, obviously, I'll use upriver 8 to 10 acres, which I believe are appropriate for cages. Maybe that would go to full half of it, but the bottom entire half is inappropriate for cage gear, for at least the way I do farming. So anyone coming out cut through that bottom half of the red is not going to deal with me whatsoever. My viewshed impacts, I do have to have at least 4 poles marking the work area, and I do use two buoys per line of cages I put out. My lines run about 200 feet. Cage density at that depth of water, I might run 20 cages per line. It's just spacing's kind of hard when it's that deep. Let's see. Yeah, we do work out of the marina. Folks know who we are. We know what we're doing. I can't promise it won't impact anybody navigating. I do coexist with crabbers who work out of the marina currently. They are authorized to use oyster lease anyhow. I'm sure I might get in their way a little bit. Shy questions, that's all I've got.
Questions?
I have a question.
Mr. France?
Yes. Give me an idea of how often you would be working a lease like this. I mean, after you get your cages out, what are you looking at, once every couple weeks?
No, so we would go out more often than that. Once we get established, the first year wouldn't be much. We'd want to lay a few things out, see how the water is, see how the bottom is. I believe it to be firm enough to support gear. We deploy a little bit first year to test it. But on the regular, we may access this a few times a week. During the summer, it would be going out, grabbing cages, heading back in, working the tumbler we have at the marina, then going back out and dropping. It is a relatively short amount of time on the water. Harvest runs pretty quick. Over the winter, I do spend more time out hand sorting as to not tumble oysters through the winter since it may stress them a little much. So I'll be visible, but we're not out there with a fleet of boats all day. I don't do tumbling activity or power washing activity on the water. I stay on shore as much as I can. There's a limit to it, but most of it is running back and forth.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Ms. Lusk.
I think this application seems very reasonable. The applicant has cooperated with staff to adjust the boundary lines. Not particularly in close to the piers. He seems to have very good idea of what he's going to do. He's got experience in the industry. I would support this application.
Is that a motion?
Sure.
I second it.
Motion made by Ms. Lusk, seconded by Mr. Minor. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.